Mwangata. 1. Out of the shale, a trilobite. Out of the trilobite, the idea of a trilobite, the specter of taxonomy and deep time. Yes, it looks like the cross of a gym shoe sole and a washboard, but inside it, inside anything, is its generality. Out of the stalk of celery, out of the plaster clown at the funhouse entrance, out of the leather dog collar, out of the lily, out of the person asleep beside you in the darkness. We rarely use abstract anymore as a verb, to take out of, but that's how the word began. Out of the person asleep last night beside you in the darkness and its rolled up hard-packed ball of light we call the moon, weariness, susceptibility, plenitude, carnality, his or her abstractions. Out of anything, its symbology. The difference between the moon's light on a shoulder next to yours in bed and astronomy and anatomy, which are lovely constructions and necessary, although they can never be touched. 2. The famous painter, starting over, layer by layer, removing the painted skins of her beginning attempts, until she's gone down to a smudge of color floating on the undercoat. Some scream or hope or sobbing without benefit of a body. This is what I receive, and is only what I receive in the first year poetry workshop. The torment of my soul surrounds me, and the friendships of humankinds give us hope and loneliness. This year, loneliness is the front runner. All of the loneliness is a sadness of the lonely. Shrieks without throats. Heartaches sounds hearts. But didn't we invent our gods exactly so the abstruse emanations that we generate, wonder, vengeance, benevolence, dread, could enter the world in a riveting story of meaningful specifics? Abstruse emanations alone demands a putto or two. 3. Riveting stories require, well, rivets, nuts and bolts, the nitty-gritty. Here's the tortoise stomach Darwin slit and entered, sorting its gummy tidbits with the frank touch of a postal worker. Here's a clutch of his finches looking, in death, like half a dozen bottles of ale that some Victorian decorator gussied up in feathered cozies. And here are the bones of his prehistoric armadillos and giant sloths of such size that they might imply the architecture of cities more than the structure of bodies. Alfred Wallace was threatened by yellow fever, malaria, tiger pits, and also by the tigers, drowning, earthquakes, volcanoes, headhunters who kept bundles of their enemies' heads suspended from the ceilings of their longhouses, and a solitude that sat on his chest at night like a gibbering creature. And yet there were days like the one when he captured a golden bird wing, a butterfly more than 7 inches across at the wings, which are velvety black and fiery orange, plus his macaws, toucans, honeysuckers, and one bird that the locals called a quaitch-quaitch. There are people for whom crustaceans and arthropods chiseled out of a rock face are better than diamonds. Here's the rich array Roy Chapman Andrews returned with from the Gobi, and its scale goes from the barrel-sized skulls of mastodons to Cretaceous mosquitoes. And out of this material welter of curiosa in specimens cases, rattling, stinking tonnage, rose the theory itself, natural selection, evolution, where we came from, in the way that, in the ancient tales, spirits rose ethereally from the very real flotsam, jetsam, mollusk, and octopus sea. Ah, the sea. The word Mwangata is Swedish, the road-like reflection of the moon in the water. Such nothing, such fluttering nothing, such impossibly evanescent, uncommunicatable nothing to hold such beauty. This light, it must shine its permission on the language that my students employ when they stumble out of the one-night stand or midnight worship service, overcome with feelings so intense they no longer require the physical apparatus of feeling, and so pure that they don't require evidence. Well, I've been in that light, and so have you. The too much gland in the brain secretes its too much hormone into the blood, and from out of nowhere, Mwangata bursts forth. My soul, my deepness, my longing.